the ferocity of the approach of Eamon Holmes there. I want to speak to Jim Gamble about that. He's a child protection expert, former head of CIOPSIS. He's on the line. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, I presume people listening to Eamon or having seen him on the TV this morning, they'll understand the ferocity of that approach, because he almost sounds like as if he's speaking to represent all parents in Britain.
Yeah, I think his approach was passionate. I think it demonstrated the professional curiosity and challenge that should be the hallmark of the approach of every child protection professional. And it's that professional curiosity, when you see something or hear something you're not sure of, and you must continue to ask and challenge within your own organisation and without, that was lacking in Rotherham for so long. So I think that video, and I saw it this morning, is something that should be shared with everyone who has a leadership role within child protection, because those are the type of questions that they need to be asking one another within their own organisations and within their safeguarding boards. That's the type of constructive and respectful but passionate debate that needs to take place.
Are we ahead of the game over here because of the trauma that our children have been through for decades?
No, I don't think we are in this regard. I think that when it comes to child sexual exploitation, we have been in the dark as much as anyone else. At times, people don't see it, some people refuse to see it, and some people get confused because they label this as promiscuous children rather than young and vulnerable people who are isolated and then taken advantage of by very often older men. And we know there's an investigation going on here at the minute, and I don't think the way that came about and the way that it suddenly was exposed to the public would fill me with reassurance that we have a measured approach. I would hate to think that it's as bad as Rotherham, but those members of the combined safeguarding community here who sit on the safeguarding board for Northern Ireland, I hope that they're looking hard at the Rotherham report, and round that table they're asking each other uncomfortable questions. And if they're offended by me saying this, well, then they shouldn't actually be round that table. This is the type of challenge and constructive debate that people involved in child protection need to deliver.
And as an expert in the field, do you believe our safeguarding board, a relatively new board's up to it?
The simple answer to that is I'm not sure. I think it's been formed with best intent. It covers a single geography. The early indications around the approach to our own CSE, child exploitation investigation, in my opinion, was a bit haphazard. But it's early days for this board. There are great people at the grassroots level. Those people in the charities that we've spoken to, those people in frontline social care, education and policing, they're doing the best they can. Leadership is critically important. And what you've seen in Rotherham is that the leadership were the blockage. I spoke to a victim of the abuse in Rotherham, whom I've known for years, but I spoke to her again yesterday, and she talked about the cloud being lifted, and not the cloud that it's great that these predators have been exposed, because some of them have already been caught, but the cloud lifted that people actually believed what the young people were saying, actually believed, you know, what she had said, and the people that blocked that, the people that inhibited them being rescued earlier, were people in position of authority, who had a political agenda, perhaps, or were overly politically sensitive. They didn't want to offend a particular community. And that's where leadership really counts. It's being prepared to do the difficult thing and say the difficult thing at a time when issues are highly sensitive. So, of course, that could happen here. I hope it doesn't. I think we've got great members of the safeguarding board, but you've got a lot of powerful individuals representing their own organisations who will have their own agendas. So the chair's role here is particularly important, and whoever runs the day-to-day business of the safeguarding board needs to be a strong advocate and prepared to make other people feel uncomfortable.
And do you feel that this argument put up by some people that they were fearful of being accused of being racist by pointing the finger at so many people in the Pakistani community, does that hold any water?
Well, I can understand why people considered that. And you have to understand it, because you see the way, you know, individuals will react when someone is insensitive to another person's ethnic background, their religion, their faith, their tradition. But the fact of the matter is, being sensitive is one thing, but failing to step forward and challenge is another. The fact is, in Rotherham, it was Pakistani men and largely white girls. In Northern Ireland, there are no Pakistani men, as far as I'm aware, involved in the abuse of these girls. The things here, the things that predators will have in common with their victims generally is proximity. They live in the same geography, or they occupy the same geography. And the predator has the wherewithal to offer gifts, to induce with alcohol or drugs, to indoctrinate a child into a position where they think this abuse is normal. So if you go to Thailand today, the people sitting around the bars abusing the young girls will be white generally. The accident of geography and the fact that men come together, you know, with a particular background, of course we need to look at culture and issues if within a culture that would drive people to think, well, I can do this, but I can't do that. And you need to engage the community there. And having spoken to others in the area I work in, Hackney, I know that the communities from which some of these predators come absolutely do not support them and find everything that's done embarrassing. But it's having the courage to stand up and challenge. And listening to Eamon this morning, I wonder why we haven't heard from the Chief Constable of South Yorkshire. And I wonder why we haven't heard directly from the Police and Crime Commissioner, who was a cabinet member at the time all this happened. Because leadership isn't just about the car, the driver and the big pay packet. It is about standing up and being counted for children when there's a child protection issue like this.
Do you think the Police and Crime Commissioner will stand down?
Unless he can produce evidence that over his tenure, he challenged what was going on, he robustly held to account the Safeguarding Board and others, and I can see no evidence of that, then I think he should. If I was in his position and in his seat, I would be sitting this morning contemplating my future. Now, that's not to say that Sean won't come out and say, here is evidence that I did A, B, C, D, and E. But he was a politician. And it's the same as charities that come on, and, you know, and I understand they have to walk this fine line, where they want to make sure that business today continues tomorrow, so relationships are important. But you need to be able to escalate. And if you believe children are being harmed on this scale, and evidence is put on your desk in 2005, 2006, and 2007, and you don't fix that, then you don't deserve to be in that role.
In the meantime, locally here in Northern Ireland this weekend, will 15, 16-year-old girls be taken to parties in houses and plied with drink and drugs and used for sport by older men?
Unfortunately, I think the answer to that is probably yes.
And these young people feel as if they're special. They feel that they want to be there. They are willingly going for the reward that they're receiving, reward in inverted commas. They're willingly going thinking they are in the big picture, and they're almost failing to realise that they are abuse victims.
The vast majority will not realise they're abuse victims. They'll be groomed, they'll be indoctrinated into thinking they're part of the group, they're part of that clique, that this is a good way to live, that it's a choice that they've made. That's what happens. That's why sometimes you need critical intervention, early intervention, to remove children from the influence of those who abuse them. And I've discussed this issue with senior members of the PSNI, and I know they're absolutely committed to making those interventions as early as they can. I know that we have got great people in frontline social care here, great support from the likes of Bernardo's locally and others. But the fact of the matter is, it's about leadership. It's about leaders challenging each other to make sure that they work together better to make our children safer. And if you're in the community and you see something, you see a child who's being picked up in a car by older men, you know, these things aren't secrets. People in the street know which children are vulnerable, who's been taken from A to B, and who's hanging out and being abused or disabused. And rather than gossip about them and say, well, you know, that wee girl does this or that, make a report to the police or to children's social care. Do something. Play your own part. Don't just sit in the margins, you know, and complain.
Is there a paramilitary involvement in it?
You know, I would be surprised if there is an organised paramilitary involvement in this. What would surprise me, however, if somebody is if there weren't individuals who had a link to paramilitary organisations in a historic or contemporary sense. I mean, if you go to some areas in Belfast and throw a stone, you're going to hit something that belongs to someone who was either once a paramilitary or is still involved. And there'll be people from all walks of life.
This is important, and this is what I wanted to ask you. We're almost painting a picture that this is coming from the dark streets somewhere, and the people are shady characters. Of course, they're shady in terms, beyond shady in terms of their personality. But is there a possibility that those parties are being attended by, say, the man you might see in the bank, or the chap you might be speaking to at the football match, or the very pleasant dad or grandfather, or indeed mom or grandmother that you meet down your cul-de-sac?
This particular type of child sexual exploitation is less likely to see the traditional child sex offender, who could be the bank manager, the dad, or anyone else. Of course, some of these people will be dads, but some of these people will also be relatively young people themselves who don't even realize that what they're doing is an offense. This all goes back to, you know, it's about ordinary people on the street. You'll not be able to tell by looking. But the truth is, this begins in homes where domestic violence is prevalent. We talk about gangs, but this is about abusive relationships. This is about the expectations girls have about how they'll be treated and the way men think they're supposed to behave because they've seen what happens in their home. It's about the sexualization of children through the commercialization of sex, you know, from no age at all through pop music and other culture to bring things to a more acceptable level and access to pornography. So our children are living in an environment and a context where all of these pressures come to bear. So it's not easy to be a parent or a carer. We have great kids here. We have great schools here. We have good frontline social care, health and education professionals. We just all need to be aware. And it's no good looking at Rotherham thinking, isn't that terrible? We actually need to look at our own front door and reassure ourselves that we're asking questions. And when we're not satisfied with the answer, we're challenging.
Jim Gamble, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
Jim Gamble, who is obviously an expert in child protection, former head of CEOPS. It's 28 minutes past nine. You're listening to U105. Good morning.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Here for you.
Dear hard work, you drag us out of bed.